Twice, Lorelai pulled over to bask in the sensations she drew from Alex. The bond between them grew ever stronger. She could feel the difference. At this point, if she had the chance to confront the man who'd attempted to bind her, only to have Alex come along and screw it all up, Lorelai wouldn't have the words to thank him enough.
Oh, God.
Onyx moaned with a smile.
I don't know if I can do this anymore.
She'd lost track of how many times he'd gotten her off, and time in general. If this went on further, she'd probably lose track of her identity.
You okay?
Alex asked. He kissed her cheeks, her forehead, her neck.
Hell yes.
Onyx grinned.
I feel amazing. You're amazing.
You'd better not be a one-time-only kind of guy, mister.
No way.
Alex huffed.
You're not even entirely naked yet.
Her grin became sly. We'll have to save that for next time, then.
Deal.
Much as I don't want you to go anywhere, she said. I need some water.
Oh, sure. I'll get it.
He pulled away and got off the bed. After a 2-second detour to the bathroom, he came back with a towel for her.
Don't know if you'd like this or not,
he said, a bit shyly before heading back out of the room. Onyx blinked. She hadn't expected him to be that thoughtful. Not after all that exercise. She rose up from the bed as he walked out, using the towel only momentarily, but wanting to look at him again as he headed down the stairs. She liked the way he looked, especially to the spiritual sight that she'd learned as the first lessons of her practice. His aura revealed compassion and humility and purity of spirit. There were black marks, too. Everyone had those. Yet, by and large, his were small, most of them even insignificant. He had the bright, vibrant aura of a genuinely good person. Onyx smiled at him as he headed down the stairs, and as she looked for things unseen by ordinary people, she saw something meant to go unseen by anyone. She was tall, and dark-haired, and beautiful. Gorgeous enough to make Onyx feel plain, except for the twin scars on her head, just below her hairline. The woman smiled as Alex came down the stairs toward her, saying nothing to him, but watching as if he'd seen her. He didn't stop on his way to the kitchen, but she followed with a smile on her face. She had a tail. Onyx saw it stretching insubstantially through the woman's short business skirt, swaying with a relaxed air. Onyx wasn't supposed to see the woman at all. She was sure of that. But moreover, only a practitioner of magic could have ever seen that tail, unless the woman willed it so. Onyx knew that wasn't just a woman down there. She jerked back away from the staircase before the woman looked up. Her mind racing, Onyx rushed into the bedroom, quickly gathered her clothes, and then locked herself in the bathroom.
Wonderful in ways I would not have expected, Alex.
Lorelai whispered into his ear. He stood at the kitchen counter pouring water out of a pitcher, while she slipped up behind him, moving her hands over his chest.
Our bond must still be strengthening. This was much more than a rush of vitality and healing for me. You didn't have just her. You had me as well. Or, more accurately, I had you just as she did. It was breathtaking for both of us.
I still can't believe this is happening.
Can't believe you're okay with it.
Can't believe she's okay with it.
He murmured.
I was afraid I was delaying plans for the weekend. I didn't want to disappoint you.
Alex, she whispered. Never, ever hesitate on my part. We share this.
I should go back up there,
he said.
Go.
Lorelai consented with a smile.
Take your time with her. I'm enjoying this as much as either of you. Just take me the moment she leaves,
she added with a wink. It was the simplest, most basic of purification spells. If she'd been subjected to something serious, it probably wouldn't work. But she had to try something immediately. First aid, if nothing else. For that, she always carried a vial of sea salt in her purse. Onyx brushed a small pinch of salt across her forehead and threw it into the sink with the faucet running. She did so again with salt across her heart, then again just below her belly. She murmured the words, trying to keep her voice down. With this done, she looked in the mirror. She didn't feel any different. Her body was still riding high on the rapture of her afternoon, but this revelation threw her mind and her heart for a loop. If anything had been altered about her, if she had been manipulated through some supernatural means, it went beyond her ability to break right now. That, or she hadn't been affected at all, one or the other. His aura shone with benevolence and life. But there was an invisible woman with a devil's tail connected to him somehow. She didn't want to leave him here. It wasn't right. She had to get him away from her, from that, and make sure he was okay. Unless, somehow, he was part of this, and everything about him was a deception beyond her means to detect. Stop. That doesn't make sense, she told herself. That he could fake his aura was a pretty big stretch to begin with. Everything about him and his home stated flatly that he knew nothing of any practice she could name. Further, if he could run that tight a charade, or if that woman could, then she shouldn't have been visible to Onyx at all. Whatever was going on had begun well before Onyx got here. He was hale and hearty. Illness or fatigue would have shown in his aura. Any drain in his soul would have been visible as well. This was bad, but it wasn't an emergency. At least, not for him. Onyx looked in the mirror. She had another minute or so before her absence became suspicious. She could already hear him coming up the stairs. Rummaging around in her purse, Onyx pulled out a tiny pill bottle filled with snapdragon petals. Murmured words in Greek and Hebrew mingled with English as she placed a petal under her tongue. She hoped the universe wouldn't hold this one spell against her. Deception was not a pleasant way to go, and tended to incur a threefold payback, but all she wanted was a smooth and inconspicuous exit. Lying wasn't high on her list of social skills. She needed this boost of guile. Onyx rolled the petal up from under her tongue, swallowed it, and took a deep breath before opening the door. She kept a pinch of salt at the ready in her right hand. "Hey," she said softly, finding him sitting on his bed again. He offered her a glass of water, which she accepted with her left hand. She drank it down with hardly a pause. "You're dressed," he observed. She heard some slight disappointment there, but he didn't want to guilt trip or push her. That much was obvious. "Yeah, I hadn't realized the time. I need to go. Got places to be soon." A lie, not a big one, and arguably only a half-truth, but not the way she wanted to handle things. Then again, she didn't want a demon in his house, either. "You sure? I haven't made you uncomfortable or anything, have I?" His concern was plain. It only made her melt a little bit more inside. "It's not you, it's nothing bad." She lied again. Looking at him like this, trying not to think of what they'd just done for one another, and seeing that he could clearly perform yet again made leaving difficult. Part of her wanted to ignore what she'd seen and stay in his bed even longer. But she couldn't. That was unthinkable now, at least until she had a chance to cleanse and to think. Onyx looked at him, then pulled him close and kissed him. Her right hand slipped behind his head and let the salt fall into his hair. She broke off the kiss, leaning her forehead onto his, murmuring something very softly. "What's that?" Alex whispered. "Nothing. Just that I like you. I don't want you to feel like I'm running away from you." "If you say that's not what you're doing, I'll take your word for it," he offered. She smiled a bit. "What are you doing this weekend?" "I've kind of got plans. Party tomorrow night, but I think it's all people you don't know. And I'm, well, like I said, there's someone." Onyx nodded. "Yeah, me too. It's fine. I just wanted to know if it's okay to call you if I've got the chance. No promises," she added, "and no getting sad if I don't call. Just means I couldn't, not that I didn't want to." "Of course, call me anytime," Alex agreed. He grabbed a scrap of paper from his desk and wrote his phone number and email on it, then handed it to her. "Okay, I've got to get out of here or I'm going to wind up jumping you." "That's bad," he grinned. Don't. She grinned back, gripping one of his shoulders firmly. Don't tempt me. You have no idea how easy that would be for you.
So I need to trust you not to. Please.
Alex nodded. I'd rather be your friend than your bed buddy, but I'd much rather be both. He added, only half jokingly.
Thank you for this, today.
Everything. She got up. I should walk you to your car, Alex said. Onyx laughed and shoved him back onto the bed.
Not like that, you can't.
I've got to run. I'll be in touch, seriously. See you later, Alex.
She headed out of the room and down the stairs. At the door, a hand reached out and softly covered hers. She was sure she wasn't supposed to see it, but she was on her guard now. The touch was electric, almost paralyzing and delicious all at once. Trying to maintain her facade of unawareness, Onyx paused.
He wants you.
A sensuous woman's voice whispered directly into her ear, setting Onyx's desires on fire all over again.
He wanted you from the moment he first saw you, and will want you again. You can trust him. You're safe with Alex.
With that, the hand slipped away. Onyx shuddered, then opened the door and went outside with all deliberate speed. Lorelai smiled as the young woman left. She sauntered up the stairs, feeling her master's desire for her. The succubus expected to find him sitting or laying on his bed. Instead, he waited for her at the doorway. Lorelai yelped happily as he yanked her close, kissing her wantonly and pushing her up against the wall. She slid one bare leg up along his, her skirt hiking up invitingly as she moved. They had a lot of catching up to do. Chapter 12. Warts and All.
Molly! Molly, Molly, Molly!
She hadn't even turned off the rattling engine of her car yet. It probably had a bent whatever from hitting a bump too fast. But the last thing she had money for was an uncomfortable noise. Yet the uncomfortable noise coming from just outside her car annoyed her even more. At least settling it wouldn't cost her any money. She stepped out onto the grass next to the curb and forced herself to smile wearily at the neighbor child.
Hi, Chrissy, she sighed.
What's up?
Had this been an adult with some sense of tact, Molly never would have asked. Chrissy, however, would tell her regardless.
Tigger's up in a tree and won't come down, and I can't get him, and I'm gonna be late for dinner, and I'm gonna be in trouble for letting him out.
Oh no, not that, Molly said dryly.
You gotta help me.
Molly tugged her backpack out of the car and locked it, as if anyone would steal it.
Chrissy, Tigger got himself up there, right? And he always comes back to your apartment, right?
Yeah, but he's up in a tree and I can't get him down.
Did you know that in the history of the world, no cat has ever starved to death in a tree?
Chrissy's little eyes expanded.
You mean Tigger is gonna be the first? Oh no!
Where is he? Molly grumbled.
Chrissy grabbed Molly's hand and tugged her along through the row of apartments, stacked on top of one another to the small courtyard. As she walked, Molly thought once again how much of a terrible mistake it had been to tell the kids in the complex last 4th of July that she was fluent in cat and dog and snake. Especially snake, but at least nobody in the complex actually had one, so she wouldn't likely be called upon to prove it. It was also clear to her that she should never, ever be drunk in front of children again. She had let her guard down, and now none of the kids in the complex feared her intimidating manner or spiked jewelry. They found Tigger high in the branches of a maple tree. The calico cat sat upright, complaining loudly about his predicament to anyone within earshot.
What the hell were you thinking?
Molly asked the cat. He meowed back plaintively, to which he said,
You've got no business going after squirrels. You're a house cat. That wouldn't work out as well for you as you want to believe.
You've got to speak cat, Molly.
Chrissy, that's not how it works. I'm not going to meow at him. He understands me.
She looked up at the cat.
Don't you, Tigger?
His tail flicked irritably in response.
Okay, I've gotta go inside. I'm tired and hungry, and we're not gonna play around with this. Climb down here.
He meowed back, and then looked away as if not listening anymore.
Tigger, I know you're listening. I can see which way your ears are turned. Climb down.
He didn't reply. Molly sighed again. She dropped her backpack and held up her arms.
Okay, jump down here, I'll catch you. But you sprout claws at me and it's your ass.
He's not gonna just jump down, Chrissy said.
Tigger leapt in defiance of Chrissy's skepticism. The cat's aim was naturally perfect, and as he thumped into Molly's chest and shoulder, she grabbed onto him gently but quickly enough to keep him from falling. Then she handed him to Chrissy.
Oh my gosh, how did you do that?
Chrissy exclaimed.
You've got to teach me how. I have this problem with him all the time.
Molly frowned.
I don't think your mom would like that. Go home, Chrissy. I'll see you later.
She shouldered her backpack again, thanking the universe for allowing her solid insurance against ever accidentally having children, as she walked to her apartment. It wasn't terribly big, or even terribly nice, on the outside. Nothing more than a two-bedroom space underneath another two-bedroom space, with nearly identical two-bedroom spaces on either side. They had no patio or porch, just a doorway underneath the staircase leading to the upstairs neighbor's apartment. What they had, however, was a cheap place to call their own, with neighbors who didn't ask a lot of questions, and a landlord who rarely came by unannounced. Incense wafted through the doorway as she entered, strongly enough to grab her attention. Everything was turned off. Molly put down her backpack, secured all three locks on the door, and went to the spare bedroom. Onyx knelt in the center of the wax pentagram that they had painstakingly created on the bare concrete floor. After rolling up the carpet, she was stripped bare and soaking wet, chanting quietly. It would have been a serious turn-on for Molly to see her like this, if the atmosphere didn't seem so grave. Candles blazed on the shelves, and the window was open for ventilation, though the heavy curtain was drawn for privacy. The three buckets of rainwater they had gathered sat all around her, one of them having obviously been emptied over Onyx's head. Most of the floor was wet. Bowls of ritual components sat outside the circle. Molly knew not to interrupt. She looked at what Onyx had included in the ritual, what she chanted, and what was pointedly missing from the shelves of supplies in the far corner of the room. The candles hadn't been burning long at all, but they already kicked out a good deal of heat. Molly knelt outside the circle to wait this one out. Minutes later, Molly would have waited much longer if it had come to it. Onyx's eyes fluttered open. Clearly she noticed Molly right away, but she kept her concentration despite the new presence.
Hey, Molly smiled softly. How are you, love?
Onyx sniffed.
How do I look? Like you're afraid and mixed up?
Molly said.
But not cursed or sick. You look cleansed. Except you've been on an emotional roller coaster, and no cleansing ritual fixes that.
Onyx nodded, looking at Molly with a quivering lip and moistening eyes. Molly shifted to her feet to step into the circle and gather Onyx up into her arms, ignoring the fact that she was still largely soaking wet. Onyx clung to her.
What's going on?
Molly asked, kissing her forehead.
It's Alex. He didn't hurt you, did he?
No.
No, it was wonderful,
Onyx said with a mournful tone.
We hit it off, big time. He's awesome. I had sex with him, Molly. It was...
She struggled for the right word.
Incredible.
Molly stepped on her reactions. Onyx needed support, not badgering.
I told you I'm okay with it. You're not worried about that, are you?
A little.
Whatever it is, we'll work it out, okay? I love you. I'm not mad. I'm a little surprised, but I'm not mad. I told you this was fine, and I meant it.
I love you, Molly, so much.
I know. Tell me what's wrong.
Alex has... I think he's got a demon over him.
Onyx felt her lover's body tense up. I saw it, her. I was looking at his aura just before I left, and I saw her. I wouldn't have seen her if I wasn't using the sight. Holy fuck. Molly blinked. Yeah, I don't think she knows I spotted her. I bullshitted my way out and pretended not to notice her whispering in my ear, and I just hauled ass out of there.
What did it look like?
Onyx huffed. Like one of those chicks in a hot secretary photo shoot, except a million times better looking. She had a tail, though. I saw it.
They're supposed to have wings and horns.
I know. I didn't see wings. I think she lost her horns or something. She had scars on her forehead, like the horns were ripped out or something. Not very big, though.
Fuck. Molly murmured again.
She grabbed the towel on the supply shelf to throw it over Onyx's shoulders. I'm not too cold. I'm fine. It's warm in here. Onyx murmured. Molly shrugged, still holding her tight.
I didn't see anything like that in his aura.
I didn't either. It's not there. You saw his aura? He's like a textbook good guy, and it all fits with the way he acts. God, he was so nice to me. Bought lunch. Didn't pressure me about anything. I don't think he expected to wind up in bed.
You think he knows she's there?
Onyx nodded. I'm not 100% on it, but I think he sees her. He told me he just started seeing someone, but it wasn't monogamous, explicitly. He didn't say much more than that. I think he was talking about her.
Do you think maybe he's a practitioner? Maybe he summoned her or created her? Some ritual or tradition we don't know?
Hell no. Onyx huffed. He screams mundane. Except for that woman. She paused. The only unusual thing about him is that he seems like an old soul. It's in the things he says and in his aura. I read his poems, too. I think he's been here a bunch of times, and I don't think it's ever gone well. Onyx mused sadly. But everything about him says stable, moral, kind, except for that woman. If it wasn't for her, I'd say he's someone a stranger could trust with his life, you know?
And she talked to you?
On my way out the door, yeah. She reached out and touched my hand and whispered in my ear. She said, he wants you. He wanted you from the moment he first saw you and will want you again. You can trust him. You're safe with Alex. Really sexy and soothing, or would have been if I wasn't so freaked out.
Did that seem like a spell or something?
Onyx shrugged. Something. Her touch felt kind of unnatural, good, but weird. But I saw her when Alex got out of bed to get me some water. That freaked me the fuck out, so I went into the bathroom and cast extra wards over myself and got dressed. She only talked to me on my way out, but by then I had my guard up. Molly knew Onyx well enough to know that her worries were layered, but one matter had to be addressed before the other.
So you've warded and cleansed yourself?
As much as I can here. I warded him, too. Just a quick one, as I left. Subtle, you know? He couldn't have even noticed. It'll just last until sunrise for whatever good it does. But I don't feel any different. Just mixed up inside. Molly, I'm so sorry.
Hey, I'm not mad.
You look like you did everything right to me, she said, gesturing to the ritual circle and their rainwater.
But if we want to be safe, we should try a natural setting, too.
Onyx nodded, and Molly added,
I don't think anything got done to you.
Not anything I can see or feel, but Molly, this seems all wrong to begin with. What if this is all just beyond us? What if—
Then we'll deal, okay?
Molly broke in reassuringly.
We'll deal. We're in this together. Look, let's go down to Golden Gardens tonight and run the ritual again there, all right? Nobody's gonna be down there anyway. It'll be cold for you, and that's gonna suck, but we'll have to just tough that out. At least it's been a little warmer than usual this time of year.
They had dealt with worse. If there was one thing the practice had taught them both, it was self-discipline. Onyx silently agreed. She fell quiet, still very worried, but also not wanting this moment to end. Molly loved her. It meant everything. But she had to come clean.
There's the other thing,
Onyx said, finally. Molly twisted around to get face to face, taking Onyx's hands and looking her in the eye. Her voice was firm and assertive, as well as reassuring.
I trust you. You would never do anything to hurt me, and I know that. You ready to talk about this now?
Yeah. I don't want to leave it waiting. He's so great, Molly,
Onyx admitted.
This wasn't just casual sex. I don't think he can do that. Not with me, anyway.
Yeah? You gonna leave me for him?
No!
Onyx burst. She looked at Molly pleadingly.
I love you. If you say you never want me to see him again, I'll totally...
Then we're good,
Molly assured her.
Look, I'm just... Your first half-assed date, seriously? After it took us how long to get to sleeping together?
I know.
Onyx shrugged.
I feel bad about that. Hell, I feel bad about making you wait so long, but... I don't know. You and I happened before I learned to really see people, and I was freaked out about so many other things back then, but this, we just clicked. It felt right. I don't feel bad about doing it with him so much as I feel like a jackass for rushing things compared to you. Molly shrugged.
Well, whatever. We'll deal. So don't hold anything back. Tell me.
Her lips quivered. She wasn't sure how to say this.
It was amazing.
Scale of 1 to 10?
Onyx hesitated, but finally ventured a movie reference.
His goes up to 11.
Molly's eyebrows arched.
That good, huh? I've got a rival.
You can both do things the other can't,
Onyx explained.
But he just... God, we went on and on. He was intense, but at the same time, he was so nice. I'm not saying I didn't want to be with you, but I kinda didn't want to leave either. If it wasn't for that woman, I would have stayed longer.
Molly laughed it off.
Well, ultimately, you had my permission, Speedy Gonzalez. If it turns out that all this is okay, I'm fine with you seeing him again.
You are? I just... Feels wrong to be so intimate with someone else.
Why?
Because I'm in love with you.
And that's not going to change,
Molly said solemnly.
I can't put into words how sure I am of us.
I'm not worried about this.
Molly rose up on her knees, kissing her softly and deeply. Onyx whimpered, running her hands through Molly's short red hair. Molly took the towel off Onyx's shoulders and held it behind her. She pushed Onyx backward to lay her out on the floor beneath them. There was only wet concrete under the towel, but all the candles had made the room warm, and they often enjoyed less than comfortable spots.
I'm glad you had a good time,
Molly said.
I'm glad you may have made a new friend. I'm even a little jealous now.
I don't want you to be jealous,
Onyx said in a soft voice.
I'll stop if it makes you jealous. I don't want anything to ever come between us.
I didn't say I was jealous over you.
Molly winked. She crept downward over Onyx's vulnerable body. Molly trailed soft kisses across her collarbone. As her mouth moved lower and lower against Onyx, Molly's hands trailed behind. Her arms stretched out as she drug her fingernails lightly down Onyx's flesh. Onyx breathed.
You're really doing this now?
She fumbled for the pile of her clothes in the corner. It was a rhetorical question, after all. Onyx would need a makeshift pillow, which she prepared while the rest of her body was offered up to her partner. She could no more turn away from this emotional reassurance than she could deny that she still felt sexually revved up by her afternoon.
I totally am,
Molly said wickedly.
I think we both need a very physical affirmation of our love right now.
You're not even undressed,
Onyx observed softly. She inhaled sharply, trembling as Molly's kisses drifted between her legs.
I know, this'll be pretty one-sided, See how devoted I am? Molly winked. Onyx, I love you more than anything else in the world. Now shut up and let me be kinky. Onyx's eyes crossed and fluttered closed. For all the potential worries and dangers of this new, supernatural wrinkle in their lives, they still had this. They would stay here until Onyx had climaxed at least once, and then move to the bed, or the shower, or both for more. It would obviously be another one of those weekends. There would be another cleansing ritual later that night, out where the water met the land. There would also be a heartfelt ritual of thanks for all that the universe had given Onyx in this accepting, nurturing, devastatingly sexy redhead.
I can't believe how lucky I am,
Alex said. His hand brushed through Lorelai's hair as he stared into her eyes. They lay intertwined on his bed. The scent of Onyx's hair conditioner still lingered on the pillows. The room dimmed as the sun began to set. You have gone to great lengths to earn this luck, Lorelai replied, but Alex shook his head.
Not like this. People go their whole lives doing good deeds and risking their lives and they get nothing for it. Bad things happen to good people all the time.
Bad things have already happened to you, Alex. She traced the scar on his chest. Worse may yet happen. I would note, however, that you have a habit of paying forward for your fortunes.
He rolled his eyes. I've been in danger a little bit this week. I got shot, but immediately healed. I faced what was apparently a tiny demon, and I only came out on top because my friends bailed me out.
Alex, you do not understand the magnitude of all that you have done. Another person may have done the same, yes, but that isn't for you to worry about. I guarantee you that most people would turn away and choose easier paths than you do when faced with such decisions. She let that sink in and then asked, Do you regret your fortune?
No, of course not. I don't know what I'm saying. Maybe I shouldn't be taking advantage of all this just because I can. Maybe it's wrong.
Should a rich man feel guilty for his success? Should celebrities regret their fame? So your fortune takes a different form. You've harmed no one. What's wrong with it? He frowned thoughtfully, searching for words, but Lorelai put a finger over his lips. Did you ever for a moment disregard the wants or needs of your partner? Feel less than grateful for your time with one of them? With me? I know what I am to the eyes of men. Men and women have abandoned everything they have, even their lives and honor and souls, to slake their lusts and possess me. Here I am, completely within your power. I have no recourse should you take a firm hand with me. Yet what has dominated your thoughts? Her eyes seemed to sparkle. How can I make this up to her? How can I make her happy? Those are not the thoughts of a petty or selfish person, Alex.
How do I make you happy?
You see? Lorelai chuckled and then kissed him lightly. You already do.
Yeah, I know, you've said.
He nodded softly.
But still, I'm asking.
Keep treating me as you have, Lorelai answered.
Don't you want to be free? Even if I can't give you real freedom, wouldn't you want as much as you could have?
That's complicated. I wanted my freedom when we first bonded, yes. I've always wanted my freedom. But I was created to respond sexually to my master as a way to keep me under control. It was used to punish and humiliate me by being so awful. She shook her head. I'm a hedonist. I do what brings pleasure. Submission to my masters felt good, but at the cost of self-loathing. Even hell's pleasures are usually cruel and humiliating. You're nothing like them. The more you embrace me and what I am, the better we both feel. You have tested the waters and found them welcoming. Why do you not dive in?
I don't know if I can accept that,
Alex said.
Now more than ever.
Why not?
Because when we first met, I felt like, Well, it was wrong. I'd still say slavery is wrong, but now I just don't know if I can even play at it.
It's different now. You know this. This may have been forced upon us, but one can hardly call it slavery when you have my consent. We both know that being the master arouses you. We need only take that as far as we are both comfortable, and we will still be friends and more. I'm not asking you to push me around or abuse me. You've been good to me since we met, and we have only become closer and more comfortable together. So what else has changed?
I love you, Lorelai.
It hung there, in the few inches between their eyes. He had changed her entire world again.
You don't have to say anything you don't feel.
Alex said,
I don't want you to. I need you not to, but I just need you to know. I've fallen in love with you, Lorelai.
I felt this. Tied into your desires, she murmured, plainly awestruck. But I did not dare give it that name. I didn't know if that's what it was.
That's what it is. I love you.
He moved one hand to wipe away the tear that formed in her eye. He wasn't sure what else to say. The room got darker and darker as the last rays of the sun fell away. I love you, Alex, Lorelai whispered.
That isn't the bond talking.
He didn't want to belittle her feelings, but he had to be honest. He needed it from her as well.
Could you feel that because of... because you're supposed to?
No. Her voice wavered. He had never seen her look genuinely vulnerable. The spell and its caster knew nothing of love. He wanted to dominate and humiliate in the ugliest of ways. Hardly different from my last master, she added. I have been afraid to use the word. I didn't know that one such as I could feel it, but I am sure now. I love you, Alex. They held one another tightly. Though his voice held steady, she wasn't the only vulnerable one. The room had grown dark.
That's what's different,
he explained.
You can't have friendship or love without respect, without equality, not for real. I want to do everything I can to make you happy, but I don't want to turn into a monster on you. I'm afraid of what might happen if we go down that road. That's why I don't think we can be master and slave.
Oh, my love. Lorelai smiled against his neck, laughing a little at how good it felt to say. It hardly seems worth worrying about now. Rachel sat in the second row, slumped forward with her arms over the pew in front of hers. Few normal people occupied the church, and those present came with obvious needs. They sat scattered in the pews back near the confessional booths. The mortals in the humble church could see Rachel, but not the other angels. Grandiose entrances and praise, heaped upon the Most High, took up plenty of time before the hours-long discussion even began. Rachel could see the sun begin to set through the stained glass windows. In front of her, and to her sides, stood shimmering, glorious winged men and women. They discussed recent events in respectful, calm, and sometimes rather emotionless tones, all completely unseen and unheard by the mortals in the building. One of those mortals, a tall, lanky young man with brown hair, quietly sauntered over to Rachel.
Haven't seen you here before,
he said to the achingly beautiful blonde. His tone was entirely too friendly.
Are you new to the neighborhood?
Tell me you didn't come over here to hit on me straight out of the motherfucking confessional booth, Rachel said flatly.
She didn't look at him. No, I just...
Are you seriously going to lie to me in a church right in front of the altar?
I'm...
You're gonna get your ass back in line and confess lying to me just now, aren't you?
Yes.
Good, Rachel fumed. She blew at a hair that dangled in front of her face as the young man carried his shock and his wounded pride back to the other end of the church. Rachel's eyes slid to one side, where several other guardian angels silently watched the proceedings. One of them coughed and excused himself to follow the retreating mortal.
Sorry, he mumbled. That's one of mine.
You might have gone easier on the young man,
observed the older-looking angel standing to Rachel's right. The whole congregation of angels had turned to look at Rachel as she dealt with the flirter. Not everyone had realized at first whom she addressed.
Oh, fuck him, Rachel told Hannah with a shrug.
At the sight of the disapproving frowns and downcast eyes, Rachel was of half a mind to tell her peers to fuck off too. Except they weren't her peers. Not at the moment. Not with her wings gone and the glow of her virtue so plainly diminished. Rachel didn't think of all that as so terribly relevant, so her language was colorful. So what? It always had been. Were her priorities off? Had she shirked a single responsibility? Hannah took Rachel's dismissal in stride. She returned to the topic at hand.
The situation with Rachel's charge has brought positive developments already.
More like astoundingly positive developments, Rachel muttered.
Let's not get carried away,
countered a hard-bodied blonde by the altar. He wore little more than white trousers, showing off a perfectly chiseled physique adorned by faint, centuries-old scars.
He vanquished a demon, Vincent, Rachel retorted, permanently. No time-out in hell's penalty box bullshit. When's the last time you did that? Any of us?
Caleb vanquished the demon,
Vincent corrected.
Bullshit. Alex and his buddies delivered Gorge to Caleb, wrapped up like a Christmas present.
Vincent and the other angels turned to Caleb, who nodded.
She is correct. As I stated, Gorge was bound and greatly weakened. I served as an instrument of mortal initiative. Without them, there would never have been a confrontation, let alone destruction.
And how often do any of us do something this decisive? Rachel said.
The loss of a single corruptor is surely not decisive,
intoned a darker-skinned angel in white robes. Lawrence hadn't been against Rachel in this discussion, but his high standards would never waver.
Gorge mattered little in the great balance.
No, but what mortal or angel has caused any shift in the balance at all in recent memory?
Hannah offered. Caleb spoke up.
We would not be discussing this now but for Rachel's actions, or deliberate inactions, if you prefer. Gorge's contracts would still stand, damning those who might now make good on a second chance. The evils of several other mortals are now mitigated by their imprisonment. Stolen savings will soon be restored to many. At least one soul, which would now be in the pit, may instead find salvation.
One soul, Vincent said.
Rachel's eyes widened.
I don't know what I ever saw in you, she breathed.
Hannah drowned out Rachel's words.
Yes, Vincent, one soul at a time. That is what we do. That is how it is, as it has ever been. And in these matters, many souls are touched. Many lives are altered for the better, as it has always been with this one.
Vincent scowled.
I seek only to prevent further provocations of the pit, he said defensively. The balance has been observed for a reason. This is still a localized matter,
Lawrence said.
Wait,
Rachel frowned. She looked up to Hannah.
As it has always been with this one? What's that supposed to mean?
Hannah held her tongue.
It is not a matter for this discussion,
she answered with distinct softness and compassion.
We are not, in the end, here to talk about Alexander.
The fuck we're not, Rachel growled.
We are here to discuss the broader situation,
centered around Alex.
How much of your concern stems from infatuation?
Vincent's tone only grew sourer. Rachel snatched a hymnal from the bench and threw it at his face. It passed straight through his head to land on the floor behind him. Vincent looked on with feigned indifference, but she knew him better than that. She used to know him much better,
He had always been stern, but he had never been such a butt munch. Vincent didn't hold her attention, though. Rachel glared at Hannah. Tell me. Hannah looked at her a bit sadly. Vincent saved her from having to speak. None of the good this boy has done merits the danger that it has incurred, or soon will, he said. It falls to us to protect him, yet the demands of the balance tie our hands. The situation must end.
And end the good that his actions bring.
Hannah shook her head. I tell you, Vincent, he would not have it. I do not think he would shy away from whatever danger his choices might bring. He never has, she added, her words tinged with pity and pain. She saw the demanding questions in the wingless angel's eyes and looked away.
These dangers are far beyond mortal threats,
Lawrence pointed out.
If he keeps antagonizing the pit, he will face their wrath. His death would be of unimaginable horror.
Gorge was a mere corruptor bound into human flesh,
Vincent said, dialing back his tone.
They will eventually come for him without such subtleties. They will come without disguise, and he will know them and fear them for what they are.
What, without human skins to protect them? I'd pay good money to watch that fight, Rachel muttered. Debate continued, but Rachel stopped listening. She looked at the stained glass windows, trying to guess what Hannah hinted at and why she wouldn't say it straight out. It was in that moment, staring out into the darkness, that Rachel began to glow brighter. Conversation stopped. The angels looked on with some surprise. Vincent and Caleb both slightly winced.
Rachel,
Lawrence said, calling her attention back to the conversation.
What?
She said, absently.
Look at yourself.
She blinked, then glanced down at her hands, and then at her body, and then at the halo around her head that shone as brightly as ever. Hannah smiled, her eyes losing most of their sadness.
I think perhaps you should look in on your charge, Rachel. I suspect he has done something to surprise us yet again.
The text message read, Are you out with your girlfriend? Alex chuckled at his phone in the front seat of Lorelai's car. He always laughed when his mother, who allegedly despised texting, communicated this way.
Who is that?
Lorelai asked idly. She wore one of the two different little black party dresses delivered by her personal shopper. Struck with indecision, she ultimately took both. That had also amused Alex. He liked it when Lorelai demonstrated ordinary behaviors. This dress was a touch more conservative than the other, but still racy. The black gloves that came up to her wrists were a very sexy touch. He felt good about looking nice for her, too. He wore nothing overly formal, just slacks and a blue button-down shirt. He normally went to work like this. Still, the effort mattered. He liked the notion of finally enjoying an actual date with his newfound love.
My mom,
he said, typing out.
Yes, I might stay with her this weekend.
He didn't need permission, of course, but it was polite to let Michelle know. Lorelai smiled.
She'll be happy to have the house to herself.
I imagine she and Eddie could use a day or two of privacy. Alex blinked.
Don't you think that's a bit soon?
How long do you think they've been making eyes at one another at work?
Her smile had turned to a sly and knowing grin.
Your mother is a confident and intelligent woman, with more than enough charm to wrap a nice man like Eddie around her finger. I expect by now she'd like to have a little fun with him.
She did kiss him goodbye the other night, but that was just on the cheek.
Alex thought aloud. He looked at Lorelai with amused suspicion.
Don't you think that weekend shagging might be jumping the gun a bit?
Oh, you're one to talk, Lorelai laughed. His phone buzzed with a reply. Have fun, be good. You are to call 30 men ahead of coming home at least. If I don't pick up, keep calling. That is an order. Lorelai didn't need to look at him.
I am something of an expert in these things, master.
He tucked his phone back into his pocket.
This is part of what's so crazy, though,
he said, returning to their main topic of conversation.
You're older and wiser, centuries more experienced than I am, powerful, smarter. Yet you want me to make all the decisions.
For the most part, yes. Lorelai grinned. Consider exactly what you just said. I have all of these advantages. I am also an unnatural presence in your mortal life. You must be free to do what you want, to live how you will. I am more than happy to advise you and provide all manner of assistance. But, in the end, I would lose something precious if I began steering you in directions of my own choosing.
What, like sleeping with other women?
Alex quipped. Well, Lorelai shrugged. I am a demon, after all. She glanced over at him, satisfied to see him smiling at her joke. What I want is what already is. We are friends and lovers. You treat me with respect and affection. Even within the bounds of that, we exchange power and dominance as it pleases us. We have it all. I know your desires, and I am comfortable with all of them, even those you deny. I don't necessarily want you to do anything or change anything between us, so much as I long for you to acknowledge what I am and enjoy it. So then the question becomes, she grinned slyly, what do you want, Master?
I'll have the New York steak, medium well, and I guess I'll go with the potato and grilled vegetables. Thank you.
I'll have the light garden salad. Alex looked across the small candlelit table at Lorelai with a raised eyebrow.
You're not seriously gonna do that to me, are you?
Hmm? Do what?
His voice was light with humor. You wait for me to order a big dinner and then you order a tiny little salad? So I'm sitting here eating like a pig in front of you? Isn't that like every stand-up comic's rendition of a first date?
You wanted a real first date. I told you I don't eat much. She explained with feigned innocence. The waiter, not wanting to presume anything, stayed where he stood with a curious and amused look on his face. Alex snorted.
You don't have to try so hard to fit the stereotype.
She relented, sharing his grin. Lorelai's eyes turned up toward the waiter. I'll have the shrimp scampi instead, she said, adding with a teasing glance toward Alex. But only the half order. It was an expensive, sophisticated restaurant, with a live piano player and without prices on the menu. Many of the patrons dressed to impress. Ultimately, though, the couple hardly noticed the scenery. He reached out across the table with one hand, until Lorelai's gloved fingers interlaced with his. We are different now, she observed. Can you feel it?
Yeah, I can. You know, when you look at me like that, it hardly matters if you're wearing clothes at all.
Lorelai's grin only tightened. That's the idea. Alex tilted his head curiously.
I've got to ask, you're so interested in me, being with other women.
His voice dropped a bit and he glanced around. The tables had plenty of space between them, and the restaurant had the sort of plush decor that seemed to absorb sound.
Is that actually better for you than being with me yourself?
No, Lorelai said, shaking her head subtly. No, it is not.
Then why not keep me all to yourself? You know you could. All you have to do is ask. I can control myself.
I know, Lorelai said. You could and would. That is part of why I encourage you. I feel no jealousy, in part because I have no cause. But consider, my love. Her voice fell as well, skillfully measured after endless experiences with intrigues and flirtation. Which position do you prefer best? Do you prefer me on my knees? On my back? Bound? There was a wink in her voice. Surely one is better than the rest. You can have me however you want. So would you choose one way to the exclusion of all the others?
Is that good?
Her grin turned naughty. Oh, yes, my love. It is.
They can't take their eyes off one another,
observed Frank. He sat at a table not far away, clad in his best suit and accompanied by his wife for a private anniversary dinner.
Were we ever like that?
Peggy glanced over her shoulder again, hoping not to look too obvious, but quickly realizing that it didn't matter. The pair were wrapped up in one another's gaze.
Well, she's got to have 10 years on him at least, Peggy remarked. But yeah, we probably were.
As they spoke, a waitress came over with their plates, both of them covered. Peggy looked back at Frank knowingly.
You can stop staring now,
she said, and smiled at his apologetic expression. It was good to put him on the defensive from time to time.
I'm a little cold. Do you think you could go grab my shawl out of the coat check, honey?
Sure, baby.
Frank stammered. He stood without hesitation. As he left, however, Peggy glanced toward the eye-catching couple again, but the waitress blocked her view. Her eyes turned up toward the stunning young blonde, whose words utterly failed to match the innocent beauty of her face.
You made a promise before God to forsake all others for your husband, who still loves you,
the waitress said gravely.
Go home with him tonight. Make love like you mean it. Stop blowing your personal trainer behind his back like you did this afternoon, and quit fantasizing about his dick,
she added, tossing her head back to indicate the male half of the attractive couple behind her. The first blonde that's gonna ride that is me. With that, she strode away, leaving Peggy feeling small, exposed, and desperately aware of how much she wanted and needed Frank in her life. She didn't notice right away that the waitress had delivered entirely the wrong dishes.
Next thing you're gonna tell me is that Gladiator is full of historical inaccuracies.
Lorelai laughed openly. You mean other than the entire plot? Or the fact that you see 400 years of fashion over the course of the film? Their hands remained clasped at the center of the table, as Alex learned that Lorelai could make small talk like anyone else.
I didn't expect you to watch a lot of movies,
he mused.
I figured that'd be boring to you.
I'm closer to human than you might think,
Lorelai shrugged.
Everyone likes stories. The world grows smaller, but the variety and scope of the stories grow.
So you wouldn't say things were better in the past, and today's world is soulless and vapid?
Vapidity and soullessness are nothing new. Those who claim the world is less now than it was long ago have the luxury of ignoring broad swaths of waste and mistakes and sorrow. They see through filters and the comfort of distance and attachment.
So there aren't times you miss?
I did nothing with those times that compares to what I have in the present,
Lorelai pointed out affectionately.
Yeah, but it wasn't all work, right?
Alex asked, unsure of how else to say what was by its nature indelicate.
It sounds like you've always had time to yourself.
She nodded.
Indeed, plenty of time. Speed was rarely my goal, and thus laying out plans left me with wide gaps of time to fill on my own. Nor was I often recalled by my superiors, or for very long. So no, it was not all work, far from it, but I was largely inclined toward solitude, or distance from others at best. Truly good souls tended to shun me on instinct before now. Spending so much time around the most reprehensible of mortals takes a toll. She paused before admitting,
It never occurred to me before this week how lonely I have been.
Alex squeezed her hand. It seemed like enough deep introspection for one dinner.
So you have hobbies?
Her smile returned. Music and dance.
No kidding.
Dance has always had practical applications for my line of work, as it were. But I have always indulged in many of the arts. I am an excellent dancer and musician, if I say so myself. I've performed for a wide variety of audiences, high and low. Though not among my own kind, one can't expect a fair reception among those who only know malice. Again, he steered away from gloomy topics.
So how far off are my tastes from yours?
Your tastes are good, if very narrow, she teased. That seems normal for your age and this society, though.